The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Good morning, everyone. I call this meeting of the Public Accounts Committee meeting to order. We will begin with introductions, starting with Mr. McGuire.
Brendan McGuire, Halifax Atlantic. Good morning.
Good morning. Suzanne Lonas-Croft, Lunenburg.
Chuck Porter, Hans West.
Joachim Strong, Halifax, Shabakto.
Ian Rankin, Timberley Prospect.
Good morning. Welcome. My name is Tim Houston. I'm the MLA for Pictou East.
Good morning, MLA Dave Wilson from Sackville-Cobequid.
Good morning. Lenore Zan, Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River. Good to see you.
And I'm Alan McMaster, MLA from Inverness, and your chair. We're very pleased to have the Department of Business here this morning to talk about, if I may say so myself, a very important topic, and that being rural internet access. Mr. Coolican, allow you to introduce yourself and your colleagues.
So, my name is Murray Kulik, and I'm the Deputy Minister of Business and the Deputy Minister of Energy. And I'm here with MJ McDonald, who's the Managing Director with the Department of Business, and Monique Arsenault, who's the Business Alignment Specialist. And both Monique and MJ have been instrumental in developing our position on and are doing our work on this issue.
Thank you. Just a quick reminder for everyone to make sure their phones are on silent, and Mr. Cooligan, allow you to begin with opening comments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Committee members, good morning, and thank you for inviting me to join you today. I'd certainly agree with you, Mr. Chair, that this is an extremely important issue for the province. Look forward, I hope, to taking your questions. But before I do, I want to give you just a brief update on where we stand in Nova Scotia on bringing high-speed internet service to more communities across the province. First of all, we do appreciate how important it is for Nova Scotians to have quality internet access. It's true for families, it's true for businesses, and it's true for government, so that we can deliver the services that matter most to Nova Scotians, healthcare, education, and services for our most vulnerable citizens. This is not a new problem. It's something that government has been trying to address for more than a decade. In that time, tens of thousands of connections have been made, but there's still much work to do. Today, some of the hardest and most expensive connections remain to be done. Increasingly, the problem is the need to upgrade our network. As with all things technology, equipment becomes out of date quickly. Demand for speed is increasing with no end in sight. Over the past year, the Department of Business has been leading this file for the government. And while high-speed internet service is important to more than just business owners, it fits with our mandate of creating the conditions for private sector success. We're investing in infrastructure and innovation so that businesses have the tools to compete globally. At the same time, we're also conscious of the fact that this is a federal jurisdiction. The CRTC sets the regulations for pricing and determining what is an acceptable speed, although I think they probably have some disagreements with some of your constituents on what counts as an acceptable speed. Recent hearings on this matter have showed that this is an issue that's important to Canadians across the country, and we should know what the federal government will do with these findings in the fall or early 2017. Over the past 12 months, our new department has taken a new approach to this issue, and we are making some progress. We've completed a needs and barriers assessment. We've completed a jurisdictional scan. We've done an analysis of technology options, and we have identified and engaged with potential partners and service providers. We are currently in the middle of reviewing and responding to 12 submissions received from service providers as part of a request for information. We're starting to develop a program to fund municipalities and community groups. And we have been talking to the municipalities who are taking an interest in this issue on a regular basis over the last several months. We're also evaluating responses to a request for proposals to build a team that will help us to map the assets in the province, to identify the gaps, and to enhance infrastructure. This last part is crucial because government simply does not have the expertise to do this on its own. We've learned some lessons from the past, and one of those is that this is an expensive problem that's not easy to solve. Just to give you some sense, a comparable fiber upgrade is currently underway in Kentucky, and that project is expected to cost $325 million over 4 years. So we need to be strategic about our approach, and we need to be accountable and transparent with taxpayers. We know that demand for data and bandwidth are growing exponentially. Our approach is to look beyond the needs of today so that we have a network that can handle the demands of tomorrow. Still, I understand that until Nova Scotians have better internet service, they won't be satisfied. That's why we have to be honest with them. Costs and technical barriers may mean that some people will not get the service that they expect. This will be a small number, much in the same way a small number of places in this province still don't have electricity. Almost everyone will have access to an acceptable speed. It may not be the fastest speed, but it will be better than it is today. For some, we hope that progress is just around the corner, but for others, the fix will not be as fast. This is the reality here. It's also the reality across rural Canada. We're not alone in this struggle. And we've spent some time with other organizations in other parts of the country and learning from them both about what some of the challenges are, what some of the mistakes have been made, but also some ideas for making progress. It's the same if we look south of the border to the United States. It's the same in Europe, Scandinavia. We find the same thing. Delivering quality internet service in rural areas is difficult and largely incomplete. What we have learned when we look outside our borders is that the key to success is partnerships. Partnerships with municipalities and community groups, partnership with the federal government, and partnership with service providers. We need to coordinate our efforts and share the cost burden. We know the federal government is preparing to invest hundreds of millions of dollars across the country, not just in Nova Scotia, into high-speed internet infrastructure. We also know that the private sector is taking the initiative. Over the past year, we've seen Seaside Wireless initiate an $18 million upgrade, and just last month, Eastlink committed $6.5 million to improve its infrastructure. I certainly hope this gives you a sense of the activity that is going on to address this issue. As I said earlier, this is a priority for my department, We expect that Nova Scotians will see concrete action before too long. Thank you for listening, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Cooligan. We'll move to Mr. Houston and the PC Caucus for 20 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opening comments there. How many Nova Scotian homes are currently without internet service, to your knowledge?
Mr. Cooligan?
So is your question without any connection?
Yeah, I would say
any possibility of connection, or with speeds that are not adequate.
Well, let's do all those, but first let's go with how many homes, as we said here today, do not have internet service.
So we think about 89% have up to 5 megabits.
89% have up to 5.
Right.
Okay.
So this is one of the issues that 5 megabits doesn't guarantee you're always going to get 5 megabits. So whether you live in the urban core of HRM, you don't always get the capacity that is that you're told you're going to get, because a lot of traffic on the system will slow everybody's experience down.
Okay, so let's say then in the department's view, how many homes have inadequate internet service?
We haven't done a calculation of how many have inadequate. The federal government and the CRTC is looking at the issue of what makes adequate. We're not sure that 5 megabits is good enough looking into the future, and part of what we're trying to do is to look into the future as to where things are going, not to look at strictly at today and say, okay, if we fix the problem today, so if we took the federal standard today, up to five megabits, and said we're going to fix that. If we did that, there would be a lot of your constituents and other Nova Scotians across the province who would be saying that's not good enough for what I think I
guess
need.
I guess what I'm trying to understand is this is obviously a serious issue it's an impediment to business. It's kids need to do their schoolwork through the internet. Medical records are meant to go online. It's incredibly serious. So what I'm just trying to get a sense from the department is, well, how big is the problem? And I'm not quite getting that sense that you really have an understanding as to how broad it is. So 89% of the people have service up to 5 megabytes. 5 megabytes probably not enough. So I'm trying to say, like, well, what's your sense as to how big it is? But I guess I'll ask it another way.
Let me answer it somewhat differently. We see the problem as bigger than the 89% or the 11% who don't have service
right.
up to five megabytes.
Is it 25% of the province?
So we think it's bigger than that, because we're trying to head to the future. But you would. You know, in many ways, you would have to do a you'd have to look at what people believe their needs are, and see whether they're getting that, to get an understanding.
But that wouldn't be that.
But even that is not a good enough indication, because we want to go to where the system is going in 15 or 20 years, what the demands will be in 15 or 20 years.
Okay, let's say that the it's a big issue.
It is.
The issue's deep. The issue's broad. I'm just now trying to get a sense, and then we'll talk about how we kind of address it. But I know that I heard this morning that there will always be some Nova Scotians that just won't have internet access. Minister Fury had said in June he was at a meeting, and he said that there'll never be 100% connectivity across the province. So that's, and this morning you said there's always going to be a small number of people who don't have it. So I guess when you identify how big the problem is, is it the position of the department that it's never going to be fully solved? So what, when you say there's a small number who just will never have adequate internet service, like how small are you down into the tens of homes then, or hundreds of homes, or what do you envision as when? Because Mr. Fury's made that statement; it's been made here this morning. So obviously, I would expect that statement is supported by some knowledge the department has. As well, we're never going to get to this group of people.
Yeah.
How big is that group of people?
So,
Mr. Kulikin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the parts of the solution that we're looking at fairly carefully is satellite. And a lot of people who've used satellite in the past would say, well, that's not good enough. Just as the technology for internet use is improving, the satellite technology has been improving. And the satellite companies that we've been talking to, in particular, one Canadian company based in New Brunswick is talking about a satellite that would be available next year that would have up to 25 megabits of service. And they see over the next two or three years that increasing up to potentially 100 megabits. And when you're looking at satellite, we may be able to get coverage to parts of Nova Scotia that you would say today we wouldn't be able to get to because of distance or lack of density. So it's hard to predict, but I think it would be a mistake to say we can guarantee we're going to have 100% connections. But we're aiming for as much as we can, and we think that satellite is a solution that is getting better and better, and may help for those places where they are just too distant from other people to be able to afford the connection, the actual wire connection, or even there's some that would be connected on a wireless basis as well. But we think we want to set a high target, but we don't want to guarantee that 100% is possible.
Okay, so in terms of the range of possible solutions, I heard you mention a couple there. There's more cables, that may help people in some areas. More towers may help them in others, and obviously the emergence of the satellite technology. So is it the cabling is one I hear about a lot. People who believe they could get wired internet, but there's a lot of charges involved in getting that done. Are you familiar with something that Nova Scotia Power has called a Make Ready charge?
Sorry, the Make Ready charge.
Yeah, it's a charge that Nova Scotia Power will make if somebody wants to run cables along their powers.
I wasn't aware of what the brand was, but I'm certainly aware that Nova Scotia Power charges for the use of its poles, and if someone asks them to undertake work to get an idea of what the cost will be to put wires on their poles, they charge for that. They don't. My understanding is that it's a flow-through charge. They don't make any profit on it. But those poles are paid for by ratepayers, and Nova Scotia Power is regulated by the Utility and Review Board. Which is careful about cross-subsidization from one service to another.
So is that something that the department has looked at in the range of solutions? Well, if we could run cables along this area, along this existing infrastructure, this would be the cost, or is the department not kind of at that stage? And
we're not at that stage yet. I mentioned the RFP to build a technical team. What we'll be asking the technical team to do is to scope out exactly what we think the size of the problem is and what we think is a good strategy for responding to it. Our preliminary thinking on at a higher level of strategic thinking is that it would be important for us to see kind of a core network created through the province to make sure that communities and hospitals and schools have the best access we can provide, and then things would branch out from there. That's very preliminary thinking. We're going to wait for the technical team to see. And again, as I mentioned, that satellite could provide a backstop to whatever level of service for people who are too distant from wire or potential wireless connections.
So is it fair to say then that the government's kind of just getting around to looking at this issue now? Been in this mandate for pushing 3 years and RFPs are just kind of going out now. Is it?
No, the RFPs. We've done a lot of work in the last few months. We had a study completed by Ernst & Young to get a sense of the problem, to look at other jurisdictions and what they're doing. The RFP is closed, so we expect to have a decision on the team of experts before too long, and we hope to have a plan early in the new year.
Right, and all this—it's like a sense of urgency is coming now. But for a couple of years, it was—I guess it wasn't on your desk until recently. But it is odd to me that this.
Well, it was on my desk before I had the desk.
Yes, it was. You mentioned the E and Y report, and I guess that was a $100,000 report. Was that report? I've been through that report. I didn't see any concrete kind of solutions or actionable items in that report that people could really kind of sink into and say, well, let's get going on that. Has there been any? What have you done with the E and Y report?
So I think. We've done a number of things with the E&Y report. It's confirmed some of our thinking. It's encouraged some new thinking in different directions. It's emphasized the need for partnerships. It's emphasized the need to keep municipalities and some community groups engaged in this. The idea of doing the core network, what's referred to as the, in technical terms, as the middle mile, that is a direction that came through that report, and the idea of satellite as a backstop is also something that came through that report. So it was helpful. It gives us a base of information, but I think the There are two things three things that we're doing now. One is that we're building the technical team, and that RFP has been issued, and we have the responses in, and we're just evaluating. We're in the end
stages. We'll start to see some action over the next year, I think, which was what you referred to. But I do want to pick up
the other thing. The other thing that we did is the request for information from companies in the industry of things that we can start to do now. The government has allocated $6 million for this work during this fiscal year. So we are going to be getting work done before the end of the fiscal year, which will lead to new connections to improved level of service in some areas of the province.
So there's been a lot of studies and a lot of consultations, and now the province is ready to spend $6 million that's budgeted. Do I understand that $6 million will be spent on the middle mile? Is the plan of the department to for the province to fund building a middle mile the core infrastructure, I think he referred to it as, and then the last mile, which would be from the core infrastructure to the actual homes or businesses or whatever the case may be, so, that would be funded by who?
So the longer-term strategy of the province is to work with partners to try and build the middle mile, and we look at that as a longer-term strategy. That seems to be the direction that the federal government is headed in, although they have not yet announced their new program, and none of their funding will be available until the next fiscal year. But majority of the $6 million will be used this fiscal year, and we'll be using it where we can get the most bang for the buck in improving service, not just the middle mile, because we think that there are Nova Scotians that are looking for some immediate action to improve their internet service, and we're going to try to do that in the most effective way with the funds that are available.
So what do you expect to achieve with the $6 million?
So what we expect to achieve with the $6 million is a long-term plan that would answer some of the questions that you've been that you've been asking, which would give us a clear roadmap for the next 10 to 15 years of where we should be investing our funds. And we expect to see improvement in some Nova Scotians and some areas of the province in their actual internet service this fiscal year. Until we complete the analysis of the request for information, I can't give you an exact figure of how many connections will be made and where the service improvements will take place.
So some of the $6 million will go for kind of studies and planning, and some of it will go for actual, let's call it, infrastructure. Do you have any sense as to which areas are targeted? Like, are you looking at the province and saying, okay, this year we're going to do that area right there?
We're not at that stage yet, because we need to complete the analysis of the responses to the RFI to know where we get the biggest bang for the buck.
If you're looking for some areas to spend some of that, I can have some suggestions for
yes.
you.
Yeah, there's certainly. I mean, there's no shortage of people, including MLAs and community leaders, who are drawing our attention to the gaps in service that exist. But if we think that before we begin to try and solve every problem, we need to have a broader plan, and I should just caution that given the amounts of money that we think are needed, it's not going to happen overnight.
Okay, just in terms of you mentioned earlier that the solutions will probably come from partnerships with municipalities. I think you said you're working on a program to fund those types of partnerships, I guess. Is it your expectation that that program will be finalized, and that the $6 million, the portion thereof that relates to infrastructure, will be deployed under this new program that hasn't quite been finished just yet? Is that the idea, that you would have a program with municipalities, they would make proposals, you would approve the proposals and then fund them, and that funding will start to go out the door this year?
What I'm saying is that the most of the $6 million will go towards immediate projects that are ideas that have come back to us from the private sector, of projects that they could implement very quickly, because it has to be done before the end of the fiscal year.
Can you give us a sense of, like, one of those projects, just without naming names, just the type of project that may be ready?
I'm not sure. I'm concerned that if I started to do that it could be identified who the companies are, so I'd rather not go down that. Go down that route, but I want to complete the answer to to your earlier question, that there will be funding for the municipalities. We don't think that the municipalities are in a position yet to be able to make decisions about the current projects that have come forward in the RFI. We really do want to engage them in some of the longer term planning, and we think they're going to need technical resources to help them to do that. But I should also underline again that Monique and MJ and the minister have been meeting pretty regularly with
order.
With,
I'm sorry, the time has expired. I will move to Mr. Wilson and the NDP caucus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for coming here today. I know this issue is quite important, especially the further you get from downtown Halifax when you go around the province on access to internet. I was intrigued a little bit on your opening comments around the example you used on the cost. You used Kentucky
yeah.
Is there any Canadian examples? I mean, Kentucky is twice the size of Nova Scotia. I think it's 40,000 square miles. Nova Scotia is about 20,000 square miles. Their population is four times as large as Nova Scotia. So I don't know if the $300 million represents, you know, a cost because of population or geography. Is there a Canadian example in one of the provinces or cities around Canada that has recently upgraded, and can we get a kind of better picture of what the cost would be, or is that $300 million something that's on the radar for Nova Scotia?
Mr. Cooligan?
Yeah, we've had a lot of involvement with a significant amount of contact with an organization called the Eastern Ontario Regional Network, which is they have over the last 3 years spent about $175 million. They're not done yet. Area of Ontario has some similarities to Nova Scotia. It has some urban centers, some urban rural, and some significant rural sections of the province that do not have a high density of population.
Because I mean, and the reason I bring that up, you know, is knowing the recent investment from the current government. If they're looking at $300 million and they put in $6 million, it's not going to have a big impact on the current services, right, or an upgrade. So that's why I kind of went to that. So $175 million would be more realistic potentially for Nova Scotia, or do we know if we were going to upgrade our system to get to that kind of point?
Yeah, we hope that the long-term plan that we hope to develop by the new year, that will give us some of those answers. But I think the government's view has been that we do need to plan to get a clear idea of what the long term is, and have a good understanding of what our objectives are and the most effective steps we can take to spend the money. The $6 million was, are there some things that we can do this year? Because there are a lot of Nova Scotians who are frustrated by the level of service. The other thing I just want to indicate is that you refer to distance from HRM. There are some pockets of HRM that do have a service which is not up to scratch. Where I lived was one of those areas, but I live in the Spryfield area, and I was complaining to somebody, and they said, "So how old is your computer?" I said, 8 years. And they said, "Well, there's your issue," and I was concerned about spending money on a brand new computer. And someone said, "You know, well, there's a $30 fix that you can buy," and that fixed my that fixed my issue. And there are examples like that around the province. So the answers to these problems are different in different parts of the province and in different areas. But I think it's important to remember that there are areas of HRM that don't have the same density and therefore don't have good internet service.
So part of that $6 million, is that going into trying to figure out that? I know there's some fixes that potentially that money could go to. So is some of that money going to, well, I'll use the word consultation or some kind of evaluation on what we need to do and the steps we need to take in the province? And if there is, what could you tell us what portion of that $6 million is going towards that?
So that's the program for municipalities and community groups. We don't have a set number yet, but I would say that the majority of the $6 million will be going towards first the work that we think can be done before the end of this fiscal year to upgrade service to a number of communities, and we'd like to get the best bang for our buck on where we can improve service. And we felt that the quickest way to get that information of what can be done quickly was to put it out for the private sector and others to come forward. The second largest expenditure will be on the project team that will be doing the long-term planning. And the third would be the money that will be available for municipalities and community groups to help us with that work.
I know the federal government has indicated they want to support Canadians in trying to achieve a better percentage of residents who can gain access. Has there been any indication from the federal government that there needs to be matching funding? We know history with the federal government. Often these programs are linked towards funding from municipalities, from the province. Has there been any indication from the federal government that any future funding next year would be tied to equal support from the province?
So they haven't gone to cabinet yet, so we don't have any firm indication. But given the history of the federal government on these kinds of programs, that's definitely in our thinking. The other thing was that in looking at where the federal government was, and given our we've been in close contact with the federal government and have a good relationship with the department that is managing this file, is that we figured out early on that the funding wouldn't be available until the next fiscal year, and therefore we decided to move ahead with our program this year to try and get some improvements immediately. But also, we see the having the long-term plan ready for when the federal government announces their program will put us in a strong position to be able to go to the federal government and say, here's our plan, here's where we think we should cooperate together. And I think the fact that we are both putting a focus at this point on the middle mile should help us to take advantage of the federal program.
I know you probably won't give me a dollar figure, but I'll ask this question anyways. I know at this time in departments, they're working towards the budget, the next budget. Have you requested funding to continue next year to improve internet service? I'm not asking for a dollar figure, but has there been a request?
You're not going to get it either.
So, I thought I'd try.
Yeah. So we're not at that. We're not at that stage yet, but I think it's fair to say that the government understands that this is not an issue that's going to be resolved with the funding that was made available this year.
Okay, thank you. Obviously, I think the goal of 100% is for homes and businesses to have access to high-speed internet is something that has been talked about for years. However, I know the former Minister of ERDT, Michelle Sampson, in 2014 had indicated that we had to be realistic on asking ourselves, is 100% possible in Nova Scotia? So has there been any percentage given from or direction given from the Minister, the Premier, Cabinet, on a target of what is realistic in Nova Scotia?
I think that will come from the long term plan. But again, I think the satellite technology could take us a long way more efficiently. So we have to explore that opportunity further. We have to see what our long term plan is to get a sense of that.
So there hasn't been any direction given to you or people working on that, listen, 100% is not realistic. We're going for 95%. You haven't been given any kind of indication yet until this more work has been done to kind of figure out what are the roadblocks in the province?
I think the government is in would like Nova Scotia to be kind of a best in class on this issue of rural internet connection, but we don't as yet have an exact definition of what that looks like and when we're going to get there. I'm hoping that will come from the long-term planning.
You had mentioned that about 89% of Nova Scotians have access to up to 5 megabytes, I believe is what you said. And the CRTC has indicated that a set target speed for broadband internet across Canada would be minimal 5 megabytes. So to me, that's here and above. You mentioned 89% have at least access to 5 megabytes, not all the time. So, I mean, we're not achieving, I think, what CRTC thinks is a acceptable kind of bottom of how many megabytes we have. So upgrading definitely needs to happen. I know we have an issue of people who don't have access, zero, but those who do have access in that 89%, could you give us a percentage, you think, on how many megabytes people are under 5 megabytes are gaining access to the internet now? Like, I don't know if I'm being clear on it, but 89%, you said, potentially could have 5 megabytes. So can we break that down even more? Is it 50% have 5 megabytes and higher, 40% have less, or 30% have less?
So I think when you look at where the internet is going, to take the current view of what is acceptable from the CRTC is probably not going to stand us in good stead for very long as a long-term target. I think we need to be more aggressive. I think we have to plan someone on my staff is going to win a bet when I say this, but it's like a quarterback in the football league. If you throw the ball to where the receiver is when he's throwing the ball, he's going to miss it, right? You have to throw the ball to where the receiver is going, and I think that's something that we have to look at. We have to look at where internet use is going. Was that a Stanfield reference there for dropping the football? So we have to look to where it's going, because there are a lot of people today who would say 5 megabits is not enough for my business, it's not enough for where healthcare is going, it's not enough for where education is going, and it's certainly not enough for where some of the home usage of internet is going. So we have to look at the longer term, and I think we have to plan a system that's capable of more growth than in the demands than we've had in the past.
I guess it determines who's the quarterback. And, I guess that's the question is who's going to be the quarterback for the province. So that'll be the first test.
I think.
That'll be the first test, yeah, over the coming months. Often we mention the challenges that residents have and businesses have accessing internet. I don't think people recognize the importance of having access to internet for our key infrastructure, for example. So rural hospitals, schools. Do you have a breakdown in the province of these infrastructure deficits of, are there hospitals that are being challenged because of the internet? Are there schools that children are challenged with gaining access to internet services when some of us take it for granted? My kids have Wi-Fi. My biggest thing is make sure they have their Wi-Fi on when they go to school so they don't eat up the data. But in rural Nova Scotia, I would assume that some of these schools don't have that. And that puts, I think, not only patients, healthcare workers, students at a disadvantage. So do you have a list do you know those infrastructures that have trouble gaining access and are you able to provide
that? So that's part of the mapping work that will be done by the planning team. I think it's important. Well, first of all, we certainly have a lot of indications that there are students who are unable to get access to. A lot of teachers are using the internet for homework and that kind of thing, and there are some students who are struggling with being able to access that homework. So at this stage, some of it are the students, not necessarily the schools that we're hearing about. But I think that we've begun a discussion with departments and people in the community about where they see it going, not where it is today. So I think people see the potential for significant demand from the healthcare industry that's not there yet today, or significant demand from educational institutions that's not there today. And I think when we're doing our planning, we need to think about that demand looking into the future, not just what's happening today. But we will certainly be mapping exactly those schools and what level of access they have.
I'm glad to hear that. But every day or every month that goes by, every week that goes by, those students are still placed at a disadvantage. So has there been a priority placed on those institutes that could really benefit? I mean, I'm not advocating that we shouldn't be concerned about someone in their home wanting to watch Netflix, but student education, healthcare should have a bit more priority when it comes to targeting what can we do now as soon as we can to try to elevate at least their signals and stuff.
Yeah. Our information to date is that for today's usage, the schools and hospitals are relatively well served. I think the issue is for students in their homes, where their home doesn't have appropriate access, making the connection. And it's hard to identify that segment of the population when you're planning this. But our effort to get as much improvement as possible with the money we have available in this fiscal year, I hope we'll address a fair amount of that.
I know I only have a few minutes, but there was a report prepared by Ernst & Young for the department recommending that the province develop provincial goals for broadband access. Has the province developed those goals, or is that future work that's going to take
place?
That's
part of the planning process.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. We'll now move to the Liberal Caucus and Mr. Porter.
Thanks very much, and thanks for being here today. A few questions. I want to cover a couple of topics. One is the more technical side of things, I think. Not that I'm very technical.
Yeah.
I'd be the last person that would be high on the technical list.
That makes two of us.
I can turn it on, I can turn it off, I can answer an email. But, as we know, our younger people are very wise when it comes to technology. Something I've always been curious about, though, when we talk about this 5 megabytes that you've talked about, and this upload, download speed, if you talk to people in the technical world, the folks that are selling computers and so on, they'll tell you that not necessarily the technology that is out there can even drive or accept what speeds are there. You know, you see these sales pitches, and that's what I'm going to call them because that's how I feel that they are. These companies are all trying to sell you something. Obviously, that's part of their marketing plan. That's fine. You know, however many the speed is per second and so on. But can the other end, you know, the sitting here or on your computer at home, can it actually accept what they're selling you? Is that accurate? And I might not have done a very good job asking that question to answer my technical ability, but I've been told that, yeah, they can sell you all kinds of stories, but it's not out there to accept anyway. It's not even possible.
So I'm not a technical expert in this area, and you may have higher technical expertise than I do based on your description. That's not an issue that we've been looking into. I think our view is that the technology and the information that's available is demanding higher and higher quantity of access over internet, and people are looking for people are looking for more speed as they do their work, and so that's our focus is to look at what may be required in terms of speed and information quantity over the next 10 to 15 years. And see what we can do to make that available to as many Nova Scotians as possible. But you know, what all the different things that people are selling, you know, that's not really our expertise. We are looking at where the technology is going to see if we can understand what the demands on the system might be in the future.
I appreciate that. As part of that, though, maybe I didn't frame the question very well. Let's talk about capacity. So there is a relevance here. I'm the end user at home or wherever in my office, a business. It doesn't matter where I am. And I'm being told, oh, this is 30 megabytes per second. Is that even real? Is that something that we're talking about 5 here that some set, you know, yeah. Federal?
So 30, you know, 30 is possible. 30 and higher speeds are possible. But the CRTC has set a base of what's acceptable, and there are a lot of people who will say 5 megabits is not acceptable, and you add to that the issue of it's up to 5 megabits. So there will be times of the day when there's a lot of traffic on the system where things slow down. And it's like driving your car on a highway. Some days it'll take you 10 minutes to get to where you want to go, and the next day it'll take you 20 minutes because of the amount of traffic that's there. So it will slow down the speeds. So people are demanding more than the 5 megabits, and there are places where you can get access to those higher speeds, and we'd like to look at what we can do to design a system that improves the speeds that are available across the province.
So that said, again, I'll go back to this 5. We're looking for more. You mentioned your comment a minute ago was where we're going, and I would say, well, where is it we are going? 15 or 20 years. I mean, I think back 15 or 20 years, I would never have thought we would be here. You know, as an example, but what does that look like? Is it here? Probably. It's almost there now, I guess, but I guess I would say this. I'm glad we're going out to find a tech team that knows a whole lot more than I do, and I'm not saying that you don't, but it's time that we find specialists that actually know what they're talking about by way of incoming, outgoing, what the future does look like. I know we're talking about $6 million. I don't know how that will be divided up. I guess most people probably don't. I don't want to say they don't care. They do. It's a substantial amount of money. They want to receive good service. But as long as they're receiving that service, they're probably considerably happy or happier. But where I come from, in Hants West, not strictly rural. I mean, we have the towns that have the options for fiber op, which is fairly fast, quite fast, actually. But not too far away, you don't have that option. So are we at a stage yet where we can talk about what those options might look like? Are we, you know, some people say just run the cable along the highway, we'd have a lot better service, whether that's EastLink or Alliant or somebody yet to be named, you know, in other parts of the province or other users or suppliers, I should say. What are we looking at here? Can you answer that yet? And maybe you're not in a position until this is done, but I would assume at your level, Deputy, that all things are being considered.
I think that's right, and there are some people that say that fiber is an important component of the future because of its capacity, but there are other technologies that are being used today that can perform close to the speeds of fiber. So we're counting on the technical team to help us to make some of those determinations about where we should be heading. And it's not just the advances in the technology, but it's the advances in our ability to use the technology. There are probably a number of things that the healthcare system could do today, but we haven't introduced all of that into the healthcare system. So the Department of Health is looking at a lot of these issues very, very seriously and improving our ability as a healthcare system to deal with the amounts of information. And we think over the next few years their demands will increase considerably, and it will help contribute to better healthcare at lower cost.
And I can certainly appreciate that, and most of these centers are located in areas and the fiber runs through the more densely populated areas. But I would argue that a business set up in Green Hill, Hants County is just as important as a business set up in Windsor. So these pockets of where we've had these issues, I'm only making an assumption, you can clarify it. One of the other members talked about the coverage area of 100%, whether that's realistic or not, I don't know. And I guess as we move through the process and we build a team of technical specialists, they'll perhaps be able to better tell us that it's realistic or it's not. I suppose anything is realistic if you have enough money. And I say that by way of maybe you need to run a cable in the Schoolhouse Road or whatever it's called in Ardoise to be able to capture all of them folks in there that currently don't have that option. I don't know what that looks like, but there's a lot of business in rural Nova Scotia that are out in those, and I don't want to call them rural because they're really not that far out of reach. They're just in these pockets whereby the current system isn't really working that well. We also have these towers placed, as we all know, and the technology on them. Many would argue it's well out of date. It was out of date before it went up. Some would argue that are more technical than I. Will we continue to see that tower and that kind of operation in place along with whatever new ideas we're adding to help fix these pockets of issues, pockets of problems?
So I think one of the things we have to look at is how do we make best use of the system that's in place now and what changes do we make to that system. I think to kind of rebuild the system in total and go with a completely different approach would probably be too expensive and not what's required. But that will certainly be work that we expect the technical team to do over the next few months.
So simplistically, it could be hardware changes on towers that are better, more up-to-date, more capacity.
And the satellite is a good example where the current satellite technology would not, a lot of people would say, well, that's not fast enough. and the service isn't good enough. They're making improvements in that technology. So we might not have recommended satellite as an alternative a number of years ago, but it could very well be an important alternative for those homes and businesses that are quite isolated, and isolation can take many forms. It's not just there's no, you know, a big part of it is there's nobody else right. around you. But
so given the advances that we've seen in the last 15, 20 years in technology, certainly we have more users, and not everybody is a user. We know that. There's still a certain population or percentage of population that are not and probably won't be. But as time goes on, the years pass, there'll be more and more, and the percentage will probably be very high of users, even in the most simplistic ways, you know, in small ways, they'll still be using technology, and it has very much become a part of our day. And will even more so. So the population piece is an interesting one. You use the analogy of the traffic. We know what the traffic is. I would assume at this point we're about 10 years into this project now or so, maybe a little bit less than that. We know what the traffic is. The traffic really hasn't changed. And when I say traffic, I'm talking population. So our population is fairly stagnant across the province. Yes, it may vary by a few thousand, but we're not talking about it going from just under a million to 2 or 3 million. I don't think, anyway, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, we wouldn't see that in the immediate future, even in probably a 10 or 15-year span, unless something major happened. But so having said that, and knowing full well that there will be more as each new generation comes along, users online, the number will still be the same, and we know probably from 6 o'clock in the evening until 10 or 11 o'clock at night, people are on there. They're busy, they're Facebooking, they're doing whatever. I'm sure that data must exist somewhere, or maybe that's part of what you're doing. I don't know. In my mind, and maybe I'm too simple around it all again because I'm not that technical, it would seem quite easy to me what capacity was required. Is it that simple, or have I really oversimplified it?
I think you've oversimplified, because it's not just a matter of the number of people, but it's the number of people who have become savvy when it comes to technology and want to use it, and then the extent of their use. And that has been also not just changed. It's changed by the way in which or the products that, and the information that's available to them, and how you receive it. So I don't want to focus on films, because that's not all there is. But if you think about how you used to access films 10 years ago and how people expect to access films today,
sure,
it's quite different, and that's created significant demand. We expect that there will be changes to the healthcare system that will significantly change the amount of traffic that we'll want to have on the internet to enable better information and better healthcare at a lower cost. So those things, you know, it still may be just one doctor who's using it, but the amount of traffic that doctor will put on the net will be quite considerable. Or if you think about businesses, the way in which they are using the internet has changed quite significantly over the last number of years. There are, just the kind of information that you want in a business, but also if a lot of businesses, especially in rural parts of the province, are doing their marketing, you know, they don't have storefronts anymore. They send it out over the net, and that adds to the traffic, and the exponential growth is forecast to continue.
Right. So it's certainly not a people issue; it's a usage issue. Right.
Yeah,
so the folks streaming TV, or which is a very popular thing, and certainly where you have the high speed capacity today, a lot of people I talk to, you know, don't have an internet, or they have internet service only, but they're streaming TV and whatever else, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what we're referring to there. So that may be a little harder to predict. Would you see that then, given that example, which is a very good one, and again, points to my oversimplifying the use of technology. Would you see it then as something that might be limited? I mean, I don't know what the figure is. It's 5 megs or it's a lot more than that, I'm sure. Would you see, so now, you know, if you, as a consumer, you're billed monthly, you can buy these packages. Most of us probably have those. So either the price has probably got to go up for usage or you're going to be capped somewhere. Would you see that? Or is, again, that's something we're just looking at and studying as part of all of it? Or
So the question of what people charge and caps and all that sort of thing, that's regulated by the CRTC. I think one of our concerns is what is the cost going to be to the user, and I think we have to be realistic that the kind of service that we're looking at is going to cost more than the cost when the program was first put in place in 2007, for example. Mm-hmm. As the service increases, some companies have used caps or charging for extra use as a way to help improve the service to other people in the same neighborhood. Those are decisions that private sector companies are making, and as I mentioned, those are regulated by the CRTC. So our plan is not going to get into the pricing, although when we talk to the satellite company, for example, we want to make sure that the satellite service is something that is both a good service but also is relatively affordable compared to the other options.
Yeah, I guess. So we would have to wait that out to see what it looks like further down the road, I guess, by way of the pricing issue, although, again, it would have to be reasonable or just wouldn't be affordable for everyday consumers and or business, I guess, when I think about that. So
yeah.
I'm sure that argument will come at some point. What do you see? There's been a bit of talk about the actual coverage, and we know there's not 100% coverage. I know that was a goal some time back, that it'd be nice, certainly, that everybody could be offered in some way, shape, or form service provided. It certainly has proven not to be, to this point anyway, in fairness, proven not to be the case. What would we see? I would ask you this. What would the department's goal be, your goal, deputy, and or, you know, the reach of your team and the report and all that you're doing? Is 100% actually attainable in the mind, in your mind? I guess I'll ask you this specific to you and your department, or would we see consistently better service for the 90% roughly that we have?
Well, I think it'll be a combination of those things. I think to promise that every Nova Scotian will get it is probably not realistic, but I think in terms of our planning, we want to try and get good service to as many Nova Scotians as possible. And as I mentioned earlier, I think satellite is one way that we can achieve that at a more reasonable cost, given the improvements in satellite technology.
Is it all about the cost? If there was enough money, I'm going to say, if there was ever enough money, and there never is, but if money wasn't an issue, is it possible to create 100% service of good, solid capacity at your internet at home and or business?
Yeah.
Just curious.
In my experience in government and the private sector, that's a situation that has never existed.
Okay. I think my time has just about expired. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Porter. We'll move back to Mr. Houston for 14 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, this is a serious issue. It's definitely holding back the province. Holding back business, it's holding back, it's impacting everyone. And we have governments now, successive governments have been kind of bumbling along with this for at least a decade, probably more. Today, I don't have a real good sense of confidence that we actually know where we're going. We're still talking about making plans, We're still managing expectations that, hey, it's never going to be there for everyone. So we have to get to a place where we have some real ideas. And often real innovative ideas don't come from inside government. They come from outside, and they come from places that you never anticipate. So, like, the U.S. military sometimes puts on a competition, $20,000 for people who come up with this type of an idea for this type of a thing. Have you considered anything like that? Like, why don't you run a competition with some prize money for somebody who's sitting somewhere that we have not anticipated, that is actually figuring out, that's much smarter than us, that knows how to do it? Have you tried to think? Because the things about issuing our, we have an E&Y report, it was $100,000. We have these RFPs you're talking about. We're going to do these needs assessment and barriers assessment and stuff. It's not getting us anywhere. Like, would you consider things like that? What types of ideas do you have in the department to say that this is actually, all right, we're going to, let's put our heads down and get to business on this now? Because I don't have the sense that's happening. We don't even really know how many people don't have internet. We just know that they're not all going to get it.
So I don't agree with your premise. I think the government has made progress from where we started. Part of the challenge has been that the finish line is consistently changing. It's getting tougher because the demand for the service is outpacing what was designed a number of years ago, and that's why we've developed a program that has both what's the longer term strategy to make sure that we're building a system that will work well into the future, but also getting some things that can be done in the next number of months to improve the service for people in the province. So that's what we're doing. I should say this because we're at public accounts, but one of the things we're being very careful in doing is making sure that we do the procurement according to the rules that have been set out through changes in government and different recommendations from the Auditor General and from this committee. So we have to do it right, and sometimes that takes a little bit longer. But we have made significant progress in the last number of months, and I think we're doing it in a responsible way with the public dollars that are available to us. In some of the other things that we're doing, both in the Department of Energy and in the Department of Business, I like the idea of technical competitions, and there are a number that are already available through InnovaCorps, I think that's an idea we should be considering to see what's out there. I'll check into whether other jurisdictions have done something similar. But there could be a magic bullet idea out there. There isn't a magic bullet at this stage. As I've mentioned, I think the biggest positive change in the last little while in terms of technology is the improvement in satellite service, which could help, and we hope to take advantage of that.
In terms of, thank you, and thank you for agreeing to do a competition. I think I heard you're going to look at it anyway.
Yeah.
But that's the start. So all the analysis that's been done over time, there's a number of solutions to this. Some people will be wired. Some people will be using satellite. You've talked about satellite a number of times this morning. Is satellite a technology that is advancing to the point where everyone could be on satellite, or is satellite a possible solution for a subset of 10% of the province? Or what are your thoughts on that? Because it does seem like something that you're pretty focused on.
We're not seeing satellite as a solution for everybody. We're seeing satellite as a potential solution for people who are in out of the way places, in
who are living in an area without much population density, where you know, obviously it's the same as why there are certain parts of the province that don't have electrical service, or why you don't have sewer systems throughout the province, or water systems. You know, a lot of people these days are having shortages in their water wells, and that's a, you know, that's a different technology that's available, that is used in the, in mostly in rural parts as opposed to in the city where there are water systems. So we need to look at what the costs are to get to some of these low population density areas, or where the terrain may be quite difficult, and we think that in certain areas satellite could be a more cost effective answer, and as it provides better and better service, that could be important.
What do you have a sense as to the cost of internet service in Nova Scotia varies depending on the service provider you use, where you live? Do you have a sense of overall, is the cost of internet service, how does it compare to in cost in Nova Scotia, how does it compare to cost in other jurisdictions? Is internet expensive here?
Cooligan?
Yeah, we don't have a number on that, or a cost comparison. We'd have to check with the CRTC to see if they keep that kind of information. But okay. we have not done that.
Because I think as we talk about the overall infrastructure cost, it's kind of neat to have a perspective on what it's costing the customer at the end. And you mentioned $175 million was kind of the estimate of what it might cost to build out internet in Nova Scotia. Was that the number you used, $175
million? I think I used a number that that comes out of Eastern Ontario, and I used a number that comes from Kentucky.
Okay, so Kentucky was $325 million and Eastern Ontario was $175 million. Well, we don't have an estimate for Nova Scotia?
Not as yet. I hope that will come out of the plan. I think one of the things when you're comparing jurisdictions that a lot depends on the density of, you know, there are different densities of population in rural areas. So if you take Newfoundland, the population patterns are quite different from what they are in Nova Scotia, and the connections from one community to another are a lot more challenging in some cases. So the costs are going to be different when you move from one jurisdiction to another. Obviously, the density of population is important, but there can be other geographic factors as well.
Sure. So, and just on that, is there any real relevance to the Kentucky example? Like, is it similar to those or Eastern Ontario, or are there just ones that that were able to find?
Well, Eastern Ontario is probably the most similar, but Kentucky does have significant rural.
And are both of those cases, are they laying wires, or which, like, I'm just wondering if there's any relevance to those numbers at all. Should I?
Yeah, so they're using combinations of solutions, and Eastern Ontario, for example, is both laying cable and using satellite, for example. So as a model, that seems to work, but nobody's seems to be focused on, okay, we're only going to do one thing. People do feel that it's an important strategy to focus on the middle mile across the jurisdiction, and the federal government has come to the same conclusion.
Do you have any kind of goals inside the department in terms of we're 10 years into one connectivity initiative? Do you have a goal in the department that within some period of time this will be people will have access to internet? whether it's whatever, 98% of them? What's the timeline to move that 89% up to where we should be and where we should be with a suitable connection? Do you have a timeline in the department for that?
So I think that will come from the longer-term plan. But I think the way technology is evolving, that this will be something that government will have to continue to look at on an ongoing basis. So we're talking about looking 10 to 15 years out. It's amazing how quickly we'll be close to that 10 to 15 years, or you will, mm-hmm. It's quite. I was going to say it's somewhat similar to the electricity system, that we're always only electricity system. We're looking out probably 25, 50 years in terms of planning, because it takes longer to do things in the electricity world than it does, I think, in the internet world. But the speed of change and the increase in the amount of traffic and the use to which people are putting the internet, if today we're looking out 10 or 15 years, in 5 years there may be a better view, a different view of what's happening 10 or 15 years out, and so it's always going to be important to keep that in mind.
I do agree. It's important to be mindful of that, but. Maybe we'll just finish up in the last minute. I know there's a lot of municipalities and a lot of community groups that are actively looking at this, and many that would say they're ready. They need some support from the government. I know you said that a lot of them aren't really ready, but some of them are. So I am interested in the when's your timeline? You referred to a program that you're looking at to kind of partner with municipalities. Do you have a timeline for having that program available for people to make applications to? When will that be ready so we can start working on that?
Yeah, we hope to have a program available in about a month. And you're right that different municipalities are at different levels of preparedness or understanding of the issue. I would say all of them are looking for ways to get technical expertise to help them to understand the issue in their community. There are also a number of communities that are working with other communities, forming a larger group, which I think is helpful. And I think one of the municipalities are hearing from their constituents, as I know you are hearing from your constituents, and so they feel it's important for them. It's important for the growth of their community, and it's important for the people that live in their communities to
order. Thank you. I have to move to the NDP caucus and Ms. Zan.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and nice to see you here today. I want to go back on a few different things, and then bring us back up to speed. So, when you, I think I heard you say that 89% of Nova Scotians have up to 5 megabits. Is that correct?
That's right.
And that's for uploading, right? And downloading, is it 1 megabit for those same people? Because the CRTC said that they'd like to see 5 megabits for downloads and 1 megabits for uploads. This is the data that consumers are sending to the internet. That's what they thought by the end of 2015. CRTC expects all Canadians to have access to broadband speeds of at least those
right.
figures. So is that what it is right now?
Yes.
For 89% of Nova Scotians.
Yeah.
So the other...
Don't forget the up to.
Sorry?
Don't forget the up to number.
Okay, right. So up to. So do we know if we actually have that in 89% of households or not?
We have up to.
Up to.
And the issue is not... So the issue of is the amount of traffic on the system, So if all of a sudden you have a number of people who are downloading the same thing at the same time, they won't get the same level of speed that the system is designed for.
So if they're all watching Game of Thrones at the same time, it won't be as good for some people as others.
That's right.
Okay. Also, you mentioned that you also mentioned that you're looking at the problem not as of today, but where we're going. And I understand that because with the way of technology, I mean, as soon as something's invented, it's like there's something else that's invented almost at the same time that's better or faster or whatever. So it's hard to keep up. I noticed that, for instance, just from a quick look on the internet, when you look at Tesla, for instance, who I really admire their work and his work originally, but Tesla, and they're offering unlimited high-speed internet, unlimited phone service, without any caps, cutting the cable, and they're saying that it's better than it's faster than cable, DSL, and more reliable than satellite, and the custom speeds are up to 450 megabits. So, have you been in touch with any of the Tesla company or any of these other ones that are actually quite progressive and seem to be on the cutting edge of these types of technologies?
To my knowledge, we haven't been in touch with Tesla, but we'll certainly follow up on that. There's always the other question of what is the technology that they're using and what is the cost of that technology. Tesla is doing some great work in the energy space and moving transportation from carbon fuels to electricity and electrification, which obviously depends on how the electricity is being manufactured. And it's interesting that when it comes to energy storage, they are quite advanced.
And with their batteries.
And there is a researcher at Dalhousie. I know this is off topic, Mr. Chair, but I think it's a real accomplishment that one of the key researchers for Tesla at the moment is at Dalhousie University.
Exactly, yes, and he's doing a lot of that research on batteries.
Yes.
Right? See, and personally, I look at this as being very similar to electricity and energy, the ways of the future, and they can easily be tied to the homes of the future. You know, we're talking about having homes where you walk in and the lights come on, everything turns on, you walk out, it turns out. So I think that internet, all of this kind of thing will actually ultimately all be tied in together. So it's important not to get tied to some technology that's going to be obsolete in 4 or 5 years' time. That said, the RFP set a limit to the cost that the government at $750,000. Is that correct?
That's for the team that is going to do the plan for us.
Right. So now,
that's not a limit to the amount of money the government is going to be spending.
Right.
On
that's
internet.
$6 million, right?
$6 million in this fiscal year. Yeah.
In this fiscal year. So is that $750,000 part of the $6 million for this year?
Yes.
It's part of it. Okay. And where did that number come from, $750,000?
So that came from a work being done by the department with procurement specialists, looking at what we thought would be required in the team, the skill sets that would be required, it seems to be based on the responses that we've had. It seems to be an appropriate number.
I see. So that's for salaries. You mean for the team?
It's for costs for the team.
Right, and who makes up?
Could be some other costs in that.
Okay, and who makes up the team?
Don't know
who's
yet.
On the team?
Don't know yet.
Okay, so you don't have them in place yet?
No. No.
And will that depend on who gets the project?
Right.
I see. Okay. And when did you say that that would be announced?
I'm not sure when it's going to be announced, but we should have a decision fairly soon.
Like this month?
End of this month, early next month.
So the end of this month, early next month? Okay. So, thank you. The RFP also states that the department hopes to have the agreement in place. Oh, it said that it was by the end of September, but you're saying so it's probably by the end of September or early October, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then once the agreement is actually in place, then what happens? What's the next steps after that?
So the assignment for that group is to develop a plan for Nova Scotia. I think the first step will be to map the existing assets and where they are, to identify gaps, to spend some time looking at where service levels are in different parts of the province, and with that base of information to begin to develop what a longer-term plan would look like.
Thank you. And when you say longer-term plan, do you mean for the next 25 years, or do you mean for the next year or the next 4 years, 3 years? Do you have any idea what that long-term plan looks like?
I think we would be looking out 10 to 15 years, but as I mentioned earlier, I think we should be building for what we think, where we think the demands will be, but we would look to begin implementing that plan very quickly. We're not going to wait till year 15 to do that. We would start to implement it quickly. But I think the government needs to, and I'm sure with the help of members and other people across the province, that we'll have to remain vigilant and look at the changes to technology and look at the changes to the demands that are being put on the system to make sure that we're staying current with demand.
So, like for instance, Seaside did quite a bit of work to improve what they had going on there because they'd had a lot of complaints. I remember when it first came out, people were excited and they thought that that was going to be solving the problems in that particular area. But they did continue to have problems. So now they've improved it. Do you know what kind of improvements they've made there at all?
They're switching the type of fixed wireless technology that they're using.
They're switching from fixed?
No, they're switching the fixed wireless technology that they were using to another fixed wireless technology.
To a non-fixed?
No.
Under-fixed?
Another.
Sorry, it's hard to hear.
Yeah, another non-fixed.
Another non-fixed?
Yes.
Okay.
Another technology.
Okay, and do we know the name of that particular?
I don't know.
Technology? Okay. So I was going to say that the... will there be performance measures actually in place for whoever's proposal is successful?
So that for the different for the planning team, we will certainly set out objectives that we expect them to complete, and also money that will be provided to service providers to improve their systems. We will definitely be looking at the outcomes and what we expect as outcomes. I think one of the things that came as a clear lesson from the last investment was the issue of accountability. And so we'll be paying close attention to that.
So right now, how many providers are there in Nova Scotia?
Yeah.
They're about a half a dozen. There are a couple more, but they're quite small. And there are also some community groups that have come together to provide service.
Thank you. I only have a couple more minutes, but in the report that was prepared by Ernst & Young, there were it outlines three alternatives available to provide fixed internet services. They have fixed wireless, wired, and satellite. So does the department have any sense of what might be the best solution for Nova Scotia at this point in time? And as I'd mentioned, there's also the Tesla model.
Yeah. So I think our approach at the moment is to continue to look at different technologies depending on the circumstances. So we think in some areas satellite may be an important backstop so that we might be able to improve the fixed wireless or the wire connections in a certain county, but there may be pockets of that county where it doesn't make sense to get service to all areas of the county, so that satellite can then be a backstop that would enable us to get service to anybody in that county.
So you might use a mixture of the three then. Okay, thank you very much. I believe my time is up. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Ann. We'll move to the Liberal Caucus and Ms. Lohnes-Croft.
Thank you. I'm one of the rural MLAs who get frequent calls about rural internet service and dead zones and I think one of the big concerns I get is that a lot of people have service, but it's inadequate. And you have people doing banking transactions and business transactions, and they never know whether it's been received or not because their internet has been interrupted or just stops service. So it is a really big issue, and more and more of our schools, as you've heard, are using it. We can now access our medical records online. So it's of concern, and with due cause. I do understand it. 10 years we've been at this, and the previous commitment of 100%, it was unrealistic. What do you consider to be realistic?
We haven't come up with a number. We'd like to connect as many as possible. We'd like as many as possible to get service that meets their needs, but we haven't yet defined that in an objective way. I also want to underline that we understand the concerns of businesses that are trying to do business from areas that are not well served. We understand, especially the future of where schools are going and the concerns that parents are having that their kids aren't able to access their homework over the internet, and also that there are healthcare. More and more healthcare is coming to have an impact. I think when you look at what the province has done to date, we do think that we have to be fairly transparent with Nova Scotians that about our ability to improve this service for every single Nova Scotians. As I've mentioned, we think satellite may help us to get there, but until we have that kind of a solution in place, I don't think we should be holding out the promise that we are going to serve every Nova Scotian. So we have to be honest about what's possible. But at the same time, we do understand the importance of these connections to the economy of the province of Nova Scotia, to the health of Nova Scotians, to the education of Nova Scotians, and so we take the issue very seriously. It's not just about home entertainment.
I think we should also recognize that again that the plan that was created in 10 years ago. At the time that plan was created, it was probably pretty good, but it was a plan created for then, and almost immediately the demand increased significantly. And so I think it's important that as we do our work now in developing a plan, that we think about where things might go 10 or 15 years from now as we're designing it. And you can pretty well guarantee that the way things turn out 10 or 15 years from now will probably be somewhat different from what we project or predict. So that's why it's going to be important for the government to remain vigilant as to what changes there are in demands, what changes there are in the technology, that as people come up with new solutions, that we're open to those and open to changing our plan to take advantage of those.
And costs must be some personal cost to the client must be part of this consideration, because in rural Nova Scotia, I know lots of families don't have internet just because of the cost. Yet their children I'm hearing from parents, now with iPads in the classroom, I have to get internet so that my child can do their homework and whatnot. So will there be some consideration into the cost that it will be for people to get internet in their homes?
Yeah, so we have to think about the cost for individual users. We also have to think about the cost to the taxpayer of doing this work, because we are the people who are paying for it. I think it's also there's a bit of a misunderstanding about costs. I think there would be issues if you talk to your colleague from the Spryfield area. I'm sure he would tell you that there are families in his area who have the same difficulty coming up with the payments for internet service. Just because you're in Halifax doesn't mean you don't have that issue. So it is something that we have to be thinking about, but we also have to be realistic that this is not going to be inexpensive for the government to undertake.
Sure. In your opening statements, Deputy, you said that internet service is a federal jurisdiction. How are you working with the feds on providing better rural internet?
So we have been talking to the federal government at all levels. So Monique and MJ have conversations with their colleagues at the officials level with the federal government, and have quite a good relationship with them. So there's a good discussions going on there. That's through the department, which is now called ISED, Innovation, Science, and Economic Development. I have had conversations with the Deputy Minister of ISED, and our minister has had conversations, with the minister. Our staff are also talking to staff at the CRTC to make sure that we're sharing information. And as I mentioned earlier, I think that the planning that we're doing now is going to be quite well timed, so that when the federal program is announced and becomes available, we should be in a good position to take advantage of that as quickly as possible.
Okay. I get flyers in the mail all the time. Service providers who can guarantee internet service in rural Nova Scotia. I won't name names of companies, but I've had constituents who have bought into some of this. They've spent a lot of money, and they are not receiving the internet service. They call the tech person, they call their hotline or their service line, and they're not getting results. Is there any way that we can hold these, other than the CRTC, hold these providers? Do they have to be licensed to provide this service in Nova Scotia, or are they just allowed to come in and...
So all that regulation does take place through the CRTC, and I think it would be a mistake for the province to try to regulate at the same time for the levels of service that are there. As we've discussed, in some cases the issue is the notion of the up to speeds and people, when they're buying, don't always pay attention to the up to, but when they're using, they get quite upset that they're not getting the speed that they thought they were getting. So that's something we need to take that into consideration when we're looking at the sort of plan that we think would work for Nova Scotia, to try to make sure that we're designing a system that will be capable of handling the amount of data and usage that will be on the system 5 years from now. And we certainly will be working when the private sector is doing work to put services in place where the provincial government has provided funding. We will be trying to make sure that those companies are held accountable to provide the infrastructure that they say they're going to provide.
Okay, and I'm going to ask a question that I get asked. I can get internet on my cell phone, but I can't get it at my house. Why?
So that's as I described to your colleague. I'm not a technical expert, but I think there are different costs to cell phone service that if you were using that consistently as your way to access data, the cost would be quite significant. So you pay for one internet connection to your house, for example. If you have three or four people using cell phones, you've got three or four bills coming in. Plus, it's an expensive way to bring in significant amounts of data. So it can work when it's the only alternative, and it can work if you're using limited data. But it's not, at this point, it's not the long-term solution.
And it's not efficient for a government to look into that type of provider.
No.
Okay, that's fine. Are you going? Oh, that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Mr. Cooley, going to give you a chance to provide some closing comments.
Is there a time limit to that?
There is a time limit. How much time would you need?
Well, I'm always reminded of a story, but I won't tell that story because it'll use up all my time if I do. I just like to thank the committee for their questions. We definitely understand that this is an issue that a lot of people in the low density areas of the province are hearing a lot about, and we understand that it's a challenge. We also understand that it's important for the economic development, for businesses, for education, for healthcare in different parts of the province as a whole, and we hope that if we take the time to plan it properly, we'll be able to build a service that people will be able to say that Nova Scotia is a leader in this area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're all hopeful for that. We have our next meeting is September 28th, and that will be with the Department of Health and Wellness and the Nova Scotia Health Authority to discuss Chapter 2 of the Auditor General's report on hospital system capacity. We have just one item of business, that being the record of decision that was approved by this. These are decisions for future topics that was approved by the subcommittee. I believe you have the list of
of meetings that have been, it's called the Record of Decision. I believe you have that in front of you. Anybody have any comments on those topics? All those in favor? Our clerk will take note that those topics are now approved, and she will proceed with scheduling those meetings. Are there any other comments? Mr. Houston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have had Department of Transportation here a number of times, and last year we had them here to talk about road improvements and some of the related topics around budget for road improvement and repairs. And I'd like to make a motion before the committee this morning to elaborate on some of that discussion. Specifically, I'd like to make a motion that the committee write to the Department of Transportation and ask them to provide a breakdown of investments by constituency for all paving under the capital plan budget and all maintenance paving budgets as well. So I'd like to ask that the committee write to the department and ask for the breakdown by constituency for those types of projects.
Motion before the committee is to write for the committee to write to the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal to get a summary of paving as was described by the member by constituency. All those in favor of the motion? Okay, our committee clerk will make note of that, and we will draft a letter to send to the department. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Mm-hmm.